Life and Death, Commentary for the January 17, 2026 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. John 5, verses 28 and 29. Despite fewer than a handful of exceptions, we are all born to die. Death pursues us all, whether springing upon us suddenly, as in an accident, with an infarction or an aneurysm, or walking by our side through the slow passing of the years. Despite those decades, even then, death comes earlier than we would have it. It can be a mercy for those with chronic health issues, providing surcease from pain and disability that rob life of the joy it was meant to have. It can mean a longed-for rest as energy abates with age. When we are in the early decades of life, its end seems so far away as to be nearly invisible. We do not see death's grim visage accompanying us each day. Death knows we are his, and despite our indifference, it never loses sight of the denouement as our lives eventually unravel to reveal what was important and what was not, what was real and what was only fantasy, that occupied our imaginations, but did little to prepare us to say goodbye to all that we have loved in this life. Did we live good lives? As a pastor, bringing communion to those who are near the end of their lives, those who expressed regret for lives they feel they have wasted, confess their choices that they felt fell short in life. They look for an absolution, but while I can point them to the one who died on their behalf, I am powerless to save them from the thoughts that torment them as the one who accuses each of us, according to Revelation 12, verses 10 through 12, continually brings their failings up to remind them and end their years in discouragement. As their aches and pains rob them of sleep each night, so too does this mental anguish. Some may fret from fear of punishment. For others, it may be regret over opportunities missed, broken relationships that might have been salvaged, or simply wondering what might have been different if they had simply gone this way instead of that. A person who in the end claims to regret nothing is either a liar or a psychopath, because no one has chosen perfectly for their entire life. We have all failed to measure up at various points. This leaves us like Robert Frost pondering the road not taken, and realizing along with him that has made all the difference. Little have we realized that so many choices have set before us, life or death, in clothing that belies their importance. I have experienced enough near misses in life to attest to the importance of the choices we make. Several years ago, when returning home to Spokane County from Puget Sound in western Washington State, my wife and I lingered longer than we had planned, but we made the choice to remain. After we proceeded on our way, we crossed the Columbia River midway home and discovered that a car had exploded and set the fields on fire surrounding the highway. The road had been closed while emergency crews put out the fire and cleaned up the accident. Had we left when we originally intended, we would have arrived on the scene of the accident when it was unfolding. Choosing the later departure time made all the difference that day. Friends and acquaintances have shared their similar experiences that have further endorsed the importance of our choices. We seldom realize the life or death that sits behind those inconsequential choices. According to Apostle Paul, we all make bad choices in Romans 3, verse 23, and those bad choices can lead us down a bad path, even to death. But God offers us better choices that breathe life for us, according to Romans 6, verse 23. Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full," in John 10, verse 10. On one hand, we have the deceiver, the accuser, the one called Satan, or the serpent, who offers us a divergent course from what God is offering us. And on the other hand, we have life, offered by Jesus. Why do we choose death over life? We do so because death looks so attractive in so many ways. We know that a donut will taste so good despite what it's doing to our triglycerides. We know that cigarettes or a vape will calm us down, though while doing so, it is destroying our lungs. Self-destructive choices can feel so good when we make them, but eventually the glittering facade falls away, and we are left with ashes, though we thought we were getting roses. The choice of life needs no false fronts to draw people in, but reality can seem harsh to those awash in self-indulgence. And the siren song of death never stops titillating us with its sensuous melody, a melody we learned the words to when we were lost in death's arms. That melody hardened our hearts against yearning for the sweetness of life. Instead, it convinces us with this earworm of lies that the very things killing us are life's greatest joys. We dance to that tune, carried away with a thrill until the day comes when we can dance no more. When we age and our joints and muscles no longer function as they did, we stumble through the movements, but the dance no longer brings the joy it did. We reach a time when the phone numbers of doctors and clinics outnumber the phone numbers of friends in our contact list. Eventually, we come to the end. And in the metaphor of a churchyard, we find the answer to life. While new churches have replaced the old houses of worship, and the dead go to cemeteries and crypts solely dedicated to that purpose, in centuries past, people chose to be buried in churchyard cemeteries, surrounding the building that had been central to the life of the community through good times and bad. Weathered headstones mark the final resting places of those who looked beyond this life to a world where life and light reign, and not lies, death, and darkness. Each of us will rest in that grave until Jesus returns to raise us from the dead. The last trump will sound, and those who have fallen asleep in Jesus will rise to meet him in the air, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. At that moment, we will put on immortality. Those old churchyards continue to share that message. For amidst the graves, the church stands, and its steeple points ever upward, saying, "Watch, for Jesus is coming." It is a sadness that we must wait for the return of Jesus and endure until then. As wickedness increases around us, it can become ever harder to resist the tide of evil and persist in choosing life, especially when evil tastes and feels so good to our senses. But evil does not stop there. It uses the carrot and the stick approach. Like with narcotic resistance, sating lustful appetites becomes harder over time. The senses, worn and frazzled, can become resistant to the temptation. Even old age can temper the response. Some are saints not because they are innately good, but because they can no longer physically do what they used to. It may seem impossible at that point to make any change for the good. We may feel that our ability to choose is well behind us, and the only thing that remains is to accept our inevitable death with equanimity. But even then, what is impossible for us is possible for God. God led the prophet Ezekiel to a valley filled with human bones, according to Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 14. He asked the prophet if those bones could yet live. The prophet deferred to God's will in the matter, and God told Ezekiel to prophesy over those bones. As he did, tendons, flesh, and skin grew upon those skeletons, but not life. They remained corpses. Then God told him to prophesy breath, and he did so. Life entered them, and they stood up like a vast army. God then told Ezekiel, "Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them," in verses 11 and 12. God has always intended that we should live. Jesus, the Lamb of God, was slain from the creation of the world, according to Revelation 13, verse 8. This meant that the book of life was also written from the creation of the world, according to Revelation 17, verse 8. The only intention that can keep us from life is our own. Satan is the father of the lie, according to John 8, verse 44. He would have us believe it is too late. We have done too many things wrong. Our hearts are too hard to soften now. Besides, he will claim that God hates sinners, and that is exactly what we are. But God incarnated in Jesus to die on the cross, enabling our salvation and healing. He who paid so much to make it possible will not lightly give up the love he has for us. We can choose life instead of death, because God loves us, and nothing is impossible with God. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this podcast at Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com, along with hundreds more commentaries and podcasts. You can also find links to articles and sermonettes by the author at that website. Once again, it's www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.